I was hoping for more children. So you're all going to have to be kids today. It's Christmas anyway, right? Everybody's a child on Christmas Day. Because today, Brother Lunsford has, Brother James, whatever it is y'all call me. Bro-Jay. Hey, you. As long as you call me in time for lunch, I'll come running. Or supper. Or breakfast, if you can find me. Because today I have reached sort of into the deep recesses of my creative brain. Deep recesses of my creative brain. To bring to you a Christmas Sunday story. The last of our narrative sermons. And you'll have to hang in there and follow along and see if you can't catch the point. Because remember, the point of the story is the point of the sermon. As we've been doing, we will have scripture at the very end. So today we're going to talk about the adventures of Brutus the short-tailed mouse and Tabitha the tabby cat. And I'm going to need some help. This will record well anyway, so I'm going to need help because I need some sort of sound effects with the names. Okay, so every time you hear Tabitha, okay, I need all of the ladies to say meow. So we should practice Tabitha.
Meow.
The cat. Okay, you've got the way that's going to go down, right? We will. We'll definitely do it again. Men, you're going to love this, but all the males in the room, when you hear Brutus, you're going to go, eek! Brutus.
Eek!
The short-tailed mouse. You got it? Now, cats and mice are interesting animals. Cats and mice, like most of the other animals in the world, remember things that humans have forgotten. The animals, you see, remember that God made the world and everything in it. And buried deep within their instinctual memory that's passed on from father and mother to little kitty cat or little mouse is the memory that God once walked upon the earth that he had created. And he would come and visit his creation. And they remember his voice and they remember what he looks like. And cats have especially good memory. So much so that some people think that they can still see into the spirit realm and see angels among us, or demons, or other spiritual things. The Egyptians loved them for this, and most everybody else was a little wary of cats. But in Bethlehem, an innkeeper had a very special cat named Tabitha.
Meow.
The cat. A tabby cat. And she was a mighty mouser. As a matter of fact, she was such a great mouser that she had managed to catch and eat all of the mice in the inn and stable in Bethlehem, with the exception of one extraordinary mouse named Brutus.
Eek!
The short-tailed mouse, who was very adventuresome and who was very, very good at stealing cheese from the innkeeper's wife. As a matter of fact, is a tiny wee little mouse.
Brutus,
beep,
the short-tailed mouse, had snuck into the inn and grabbed a piece of cheese almost as big as himself, and as he ran out of the door, weighted down and slowed by the giant wedge of cheese he carried, the innkeeper's wife had slammed the door and pinched his tail off and left just a little short nub where his long tail had been, and most attributed his success in escaping from Tabitha, the tabby cat, his short tail, because her favorite method of catching mice was she would run and pounce and land upon their long tail, and they could not escape from Tabitha, the tabby cat. But Brutus, with his short tail, had managed to run and evade her, and she would pounce and he would slip away. But in recent days, she had been getting very close to landing upon the tail of Brutus, the short-tailed mouse. And so Brutus, being a very... Brutus, being a very smart mouse, had discovered a new way to escape from Tabitha, the tabby cat. She would run out of the back door of the inn and down the hill. Brutus would go headlong.
Ooh, there you go.
Headlong down the hill and dive into a vent hole that led into a cave that the innkeeper used as a stable. Tabitha, the tabby cat, being bigger and having more weight, couldn't maneuver quite fast enough to follow Brutus into the hole. So this worked for Brutus, the short-tailed mouse. Over and over again, he would sneak into the inn, grab a piece of cheese, run out the back door, dive into the hole and escape Tabitha, the tabby cat. But Tabitha wasn't the best mouser in Bethlehem for no reason. So she kept practicing, getting closer and closer to being able to follow Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, into the hole. One night, Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, snuck into the inn. He snuck into the inn to steal some more cheese. It was his favorite food, you know. Until they invented peanut butter, cheese was a mouse's favorite food. And he grabbed a piece of cheese, and out the back door he ran. Tabitha.
Meow.
Close behind. He ran as hard as he could down the little hill behind the inn, and he dove into the hole to hide once more in the cave stable below the inn. But Tabitha had practiced and practiced and practiced, and now tonight, for the first time, into the hole she bounded. And much to his surprise, landed on the little stump of a tail that Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, had. She was just about to eat Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, when she noticed that there was something different about the cave. Something different about the cave. And so she held Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, with her left front paw as she peeped up from her quarry, and she noticed that toward the back of the cave, there was a light. Strange. There had been a lot of strange things going on in Bethlehem the last few days. Lots of people coming and going. People that weren't normally there. The inn had been very busy. As a matter of fact, it was very, very full. Tabitha was having to sleep out in the backyard because there was no room in the inn. Curiosity sort of got the best of her, so she went ahead and took a full look, stretching the way a cat will, and looking into the back of the cave, and she very quickly looked away. She very quickly looked away because the light was so bright and white and pure. And she was thinking to herself, what could it be? What could be causing such a bright light in the cave, in the stable, at night? And then, like a bolt of lightning, she remembered. From somewhere deep in her instinctual memory came the memory of what the light of God was like when it walked in the garden, when the earth was young. And everyone, including the humans, still knew what the light of God was like. And so she looked again. Sure enough, this time, through the brilliant white light, she could see a little baby lying in the manger. And from that little baby was radiating the very light of the divine presence, so long absent from the earth. And in that moment of realization that God had once again visited the earth and its creatures, she looked down at Brutus, the short-tailed mouse, and called a truce for just one night, and said, tonight, and just tonight, Tabitha, the great mouser tabby cat, would be at peace with Brutus, the short-tailed mouse. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Merry Christmas. And our plan, so happy that it sort of works out this way, for Christmas is that we close this service by celebrating communion. And we remember that Jesus came, was born. We celebrate that on Christmas. But that he was born with a purpose. He was born that there might be peace. Peace between God and sinful man. And someday he will come again. I remind you that in the Church of the Nazarene, we practice open communion. You do not have to be a member of this church or the Church of the Nazarene to partake of communion with us. We ask only that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you acknowledge that he has forgiven your sins and that he saves you now. If you can make that claim, you are welcome to join us in celebrating the Lord's Supper. We remember that the Lord himself ordained this holy sacrament, that he commanded his disciples to partake of the bread and the wine, emblems of his broken body and shed blood. This is his table. The feast is for his disciples. I remind you that we are all one at one table with the Lord. We invite all those who have chosen Jesus Christ and trusted him unto salvation to draw near and partake of these emblems and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. Let us remember that it is the memorial of his death and passion, but also let us remember that it's a pledge of his coming again. So when we partake with memory and with anticipation. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, who made the heavens and the earth and has visited us again in Jesus Christ, today we pray, come into your house, move among your people. Consecrate these elements, this bread and this juice, and may it serve us as a means of grace, giving to us your very goodness, allowing us to remember and partake, and to somehow in these moments have communicated to our very soul the power of the passion of Christ. Fullness of the hope of your soon return. We pray as we enjoy these moments of quiet, that in passing the elements and holding them and waiting and taking them together, that we would remember, that we would rejoice, and that we would once again commit ourselves fully to being your disciples, sharing the good news of the coming of Christ with those around us. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Michelle will help me as we serve today. the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, it's broken for you. Take and eat." And likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is the blood, my blood of the new covenant. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Take and drink. And may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve you blameless until everlasting life." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, born a baby in a manger, crucified, sin sacrifice for us all, resurrected, Lord of all. I pray that into our hearts will come and grow the fullness of Jesus Christ, your Son, so that through us, you may change our world. In the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we pray.